is everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the true sister nature of your existence, direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing self-awareness. This is a continuation of our self-awareness program. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-5227. 3222. And I'd just like to say, actually, that all of our shows stand alone. So it doesn't matter if you've not heard self-awareness 1, 2, 3, or whatever, and this is 4. They all stand alone perfectly well. So
they do.
It's not that you're going to get left behind.
They all have two legs, and they stand up on their own.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on PBSRadio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now. So, without further ado, I'm going to go and have an out-of-body experience, I guess you'd say. That's actually what it is.
Yes, I think you started having
one already.
I'm starting
to gibber, yeah. Anyway, so have a great show, everyone, and I hope you enjoy the experience.
Thank you, Mick. Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. To understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation just doesn't come into it. And as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to tell you that our Akashic readings are on reduction at the moment. If you would like to take the opportunity, go to our website and just click on Akashic readings. It's a wonderful experience. You will find out what soul group you're from, who your doorkeeper is. You will find out about your gifts of spirit, if you have any gifts of spirit, and actually most people do. And also other guides maybe that walk with you and that sort of thing, and general help for your pathway, spiritually and physically. Okay, so it's, like I say, do take advantage of the reduction in the price at the moment. And we'd love to hear from you at Akashic Readings on our site at www.spirit-teaching.com. And we'd also like to say, actually, that we are going to be doing a special program on secondlife.com in June. So anybody who's not familiar to Second Life, do log on and have a look round. It's a wonderful experience. I haven't really got time to talk to you about it today, but I will another night. Anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, dear friend.
Thank you. Okay, self-awareness. Today I think we're going to veer off slightly onto a different form of self-awareness and responsibility that we need to start looking at to do with basically hunting.
Well, hunting and the relationship of people in their family groups, the relationship of why a person is doing what they're doing mm-hmm. and behaving the way they're behaving. It's not just about hunting, it's about the whole situation of what people do with their siblings and how, well, for example, parental control and guidance often brings about issues which are incompatible with the environment.
Okay.
Why do I say this? Because surely there must be enough expanse for all of you to go and roam where you please. Well, it may oftentimes be that way, that you think in your mind that that's what you can do. However, it is to say that there are now a large amount of depleted wildlife. In Africa alone, 25% of all beings who live in Africa have been wiped out. Just like that, in the last 10 to 15 years. Human beings in Africa alone, for example, are driving themselves to starvation. Not just because they are not producing their own food, either through famine or through lack of progress. Oftentimes it can be that, of course, famine is created by environmental pressures, climate changes, and those kinds of situations which bring about a great impact upon the human populations. In America itself, you have such a vast country with plenty of wildlife to spare. However, it appears that even within such a young country, that you have to still maintain your environment. You have to still be able to understand just how you can create change within the psyche of the being. That means to say, to do with your relationship with self and the other beings around you. I'm well aware that many people, human beings, are fully in favor of hunting. The point is that what you have to understand and correlate with is that if you are going to become a being who is consciously aware of one's environment, if you are going to bring your children into life and be able to be conspicuous in your environmental awareness to that child, it's not really about the situation of bonding that you are going to bring about, the self-awareness between the parent and the child. The whole system of morality with human beings begins with parental control. It does. It really does. It's not to say that a being is born with a naughty spirit. There are no bad spirits. There are only bad or difficult or negative situations which have been created by lack of awareness within a physical state environment. So there are no bad spirits in the spirit world. There are beautiful harmonic spirits which are clothed in negativity from their physical life. And even though those spirits wish to struggle free of that negativity that they have, that they've been encrusted with, oftentimes it can be these negative spirits, these negative energies upon their spirit are drowning them, are causing them not to be the beautiful beings that they are, truly are, but instead are waylaid by the efforts and effigies of their human understanding and their physical state of life. Now, why have I brought up hunting? Quite simply because it's to do with relationships and the way in which you are going to bring about honing life skills. You may feel deep within you that that is what you, that's part of your whole life skill, to be able to go out and hunt for your food. I don't disagree with it. My father went out and hunted continuously throughout his life. But there again, we had to put food on the table. And that is how he did that. And he used to be able to understand quite clearly where his priorities lie, which were at that time, because we did not, could not afford any other way. We did not own enough land with upon which to hunt. So therefore, it had to be that he had to take the wildlife and virtually anything that he could find, quite simply because otherwise we would have passed. And I understand these conditions may well still prevail. In the first scenario that I painted with the tribes of Africa, tribes of anywhere, wherever they may be, they have to go out and hunt for food. And that is absolutely moral and right. If that is the only process by which you can survive upon the planet, it is something which human beings were naturally born to create within their life. They're not actually, were not fundamentally evolved to go and plant seeds. However, it became something which they became knowledgeable of hundreds of thousands of years ago. They understood how to plant seeds in a rotational way so that they could then be able to support themselves within a different system. If there were not the hunting possibilities available to them. So you have to understand then why and how to correlate with hunting and how to correlate with all of the other efforts that human beings undertake for themselves in order to survive a physical life. So I'm categorically not saying that I am against hunting per se. I'm saying that legitimately, if you are putting food upon the table, fair, then it is a perfectly natural response to make. However, of course, if you wish to reach enlightenment, you will not eat meat as a physical being. If you want to attain enlightenment in this lifetime, you will not eat meat. It's as simple as that. So, the situation then, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about, quite simply, the relationships between a physical being and their children. How you bring about a child and its morality, how you bring about that relationship is something of extreme importance. Obviously, because the child you produce with care and nurture and control to a certain extent is going to be the child of the future who will help to shape humanity's destiny after you are passed. So we don't want your situation to be that of how we oftentimes feel in the spirit world. There it is. We've had our physical life and now we're left watching and observing what you do with yours. I'm not saying that it's quite easy for us to just criticize you, perhaps for the messes that you make in humanity or the destruction brought. Naturally, many of the situations which come about, you cannot help necessarily individually, because they may be due to environmental situations, perhaps to do with the planet itself, in some kind of upheaval, earthquakes or whatever, natural disasters like that are freely abound. And all throughout the planet, you are toiling with the human physical existence. When you take a child, for example, and you go about hunting, you are teaching that child life skills. However, if you are doing that to gain a sense of enjoyment, I am saying that it is an error on your part, a grave error, because it's giving a disrespect for life. So that what you are doing is you are extending your own pattern of behavior as being something far greater, and you are then regarding the life pattern experience for other beings as being of a lesser importance. I understand that many human beings feel that this is the case for themselves, for their life and their journey. However, what you have to see of it is, for example, when you are going to take a child for some target practice or something like that, it's much better to do that and teach a young child, perhaps if you are going to teach them to use such a weapon as that, that you are going to use perhaps objects which are inanimate. Now, it might be better to take a 6 or 8 year old to do that kind of situation and create that awareness about self, if you actually bring about the purpose of it, which is that this is what you would do if and when you actually physically need to, so that you will always be able to care for yourself or for your family. This is a natural progression of human destiny, and I understand that. However, if you then think of that as ultimately being a violent act, of course you shouldn't do it. You should rely then perhaps purely upon growing your own food rather than taking the life of other beings in order to obtain it. I would suggest also, of course, that if it is that you are taught to do all of those things of actually taking life, then you also have to train that person and teach that person how to prepare it as well for eating. So perhaps that is also something else that you should be teaching in clear clarity. But as I say, this is only in respect of that you as a human being have a right to perhaps to obtaining the food of your choice. However, that is not to say that you do so when you have shops and when you have all of those other premises upon which you can buy food which has been already prepared. Now, I'm not suggesting either for one moment that there is, in a sense, any difference, because I am well aware that many human beings have actually been, put at odds with this whole relationship. Most human beings don't actually think about where their food has come from. They simply go to a shop and buy it, and there it is, prepackaged. You don't even have to go out and kill your own food. So the system of change has been one of advancement, yes, and also a disproportionate detachment as well from what it is, how it is, that human beings actually survive. Self-awareness, what has this got to do with what I'm talking about? It's quite simply to do with the inner codes of life. When you are trying to promote a child of the universe, of your physical world, to be a harmonic being, how are you going to teach that child? what rules are you going to apply? The difficulty I feel within this whole situation is if you are dealing with the problems of recreational sport in terms of need. Do you need to go out and become happy because you have gone out perhaps and shot a brace of birds or something like that, when in actual fact you could quite easily go to the go to somewhere else and buy other forms of food, or I suppose it's making sure that you're actually going to eat what you take. If that is the case, if you truly are quite at happy and at ease with that, then it has to be a state of what you also have to see is, can the environment support my behavior? Is it really going to be possible for me to be able to create this behavior without having unleashed suffering upon the wildlife? After all, you've often seen perhaps situations of various people with firearms and that kind of thing taking pot shots at all kinds of creatures. And it's really the lame end of how people think it's their right to be able to do that. And I'm saying that this is how humanity has to reappraise itself and decide to really haul itself out of the past, out of the situation of necessity, really. That you have to focus yourself on what is your awareness, what is your self-provision. And if you truly wish to abide within a person, within a new human being, that this is their right or that this is their wish to achieve, you have to make sure that you insert within that the right morality codes for creating it in the first place. The reason why I'm saying this is that humanity as a population is growing, outstripping the environment upon which you live. In 15 years' time, you will not have the environment you have now. It will be decimated. In many parts of your world, long gone. And further, 30% of your natural world will be decimated in 15 years. And the ability of your planet to survive that decimation will be at variance with humanity itself. Part of what human beings do not realize is that by, I understand that many people will say, well, we're only maintaining the population, or particularly if it's deer or something like that. Yes, well, I understand that, but actually you would find that most animals will actually regulate themselves. If left to their own devices, they would. You cannot normally have a place that's overpopulated. In Africa, for example, they are at this present time worrying over the condition of elephants, and in fact are going to take to hunting them once again. Quite simply because they're at odds with the farming community. So you have the clash of humanity now at odds with normal environmental animals who are, in a sense you could say, it's their right to roam and it's their part of their freedom. But at the same time, it's that human beings are now at variance with their environment because there's just simply too many. So if you actually look at how that is shaping their world, you will see that, for example, in many parts of Africa, goats are outstripping the land and are actually taking upon themselves a totally different stance. You see?
Hello, caller. Oh, I don't think so. I'd just like to take this opportunity to say, if you'd like to join us with a question, You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this is Spirit's Work. And if you'd like to join us, the number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free. The number is 001-530-876-3222. Okay, Gregory, I think that was a false alarm.
Yes, I believe so. Okay. I was just going to finish off this just by saying that the trade in bushmeat in Africa, as well as it is going to become in many other countries because of the pressure of humanity upon the environment and the fact and need for food, because quite simply people are not surviving upon the rationale of the human chain, as it were, the way in which materialism has built up so far. Thus far, it is unsupporting to very large swathes of population, simply because they are unable now subsistently to grow their own agriculture, to create their own food value. So particularly then with those tribes who subsist on goat and that kind of thing, that the goats actually eat everything. So there is a great problem. You have goats grazing in trees, which of course they are at liberty to do. However, it's how a great many of the deserts were created. The Sahara Desert, in fact, was created by goats.
Absolutely. So it's all down to education then, isn't it?
Yes.
And education from every level.
From every single level.
Holistic education.
Yes, absolutely. So if you are going to be a person who takes their child out into the environment, into the wilderness, shall we say, and teaches that child life skills, there also has to be the understanding of why you are doing it, and not just the reasons for it, but they have to be holistic in their approach, so that whatever you do, whatever you create, you do not destroy the environment. You make sure that what you are doing is acceptable behavior to yourself and something which is also acceptable to the environment, in exactly the same way that some tribes of Native American peoples, that they had a good understanding upon the environment before Northern Europeans came and demanded the outstripping of bison. There were plenty of herds, quite a good subsistence, really, for most northern tribes. Although, of course, the Anasazi themselves had great difficulties thousands of years ago because they completely deforested their own natural habitat and were completely at odds with it, quite simply because they outstripped their land and they outstripped their own natural resources. And it's what took them away from the planet itself. It wasn't that they were under tribal duress from other tribes or whatever. It was simply a problem of food and systematic climate change which came about because of their behavior and what they created. So, in a sense, there's a lesson for many beings. You could also say that that's the same for many other planets. It happens all over the universe, where different beings, different species, come about and become so prolific and so, I suppose, so able in their abilities to provide for themselves their own food source, that they then tend to take dominance and oppression of all other beings. And particularly, of course, as human beings, can eat almost anything. So it does leave the planet in rather a situation of systematic abuse if that being does not fully recognize their environmental function. Of course, as we had described in other programs, it has become that humanity must become more aware of the necessity for all species to to be kept upon your planet. The reason for this is because it harmonically balances the planet. The planet needs the plants, the trees to survive. It needs the animals to husband the trees to survive. It needs bees and various other insects to pollinate the plants in order for them to survive. It needs the different animals and systematic nature of evolution to allow the diversification so that humanity actually has remedies to survive. Remedies for pharmaceutical knowledge, remedies for medications, for new diseases human beings have yet to contain, or for new remedies for systems or situations of virus or bacteria which have yet to evolve. And all of these are parts of the environment to do with every single disease that you have now has a present immunity within the environment, has a present remedy within the environment. It is, however, that humanity does not recognize this fact of life. So when I'm saying about a man or woman teaching a child its environmental awareness, whether it's to do with hunting and taking of other physical life, whether it is to do with care of that environment, you are creating self-awareness of and a certain morality code for that child to become a future custodian of that environment.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gregory. That's really so what we're talking about is the responsibility on all levels and the awareness on all levels, starting from when you're a child, when you have a child, really, and how... So let's talk about the energy exchange between these people when you're bringing up a child. Say, let's take the father, say, taking their son or nephew or whatever, hunting.
Yes.
What is going on there?
Well, actually, my dear friend, it's quite interesting because in many respects it's the harmonic between... We'll say it's a father and son. It's the harmonic between those two beings. The energy created is that of intensive personality. What is happening is that you are building the core relationship between the father and child. So, and that can be the mother and child as well, if that's what they tend, if that's what they wish to do. That's oftentimes, it might be that... It's to do with some other rationale. Maybe it's to do with going out and gathering products or food or something like that to survive, to actually survive. So you would see perhaps whole families going shopping. And actually, it's a very constructive thing to do because what you're teaching that child to do in exactly the same way is it's the core relationship between the parent and child to show them how to survive, what they do, what necessities they need to buy, or what ways in which they need to behave when in such a place or in such an environment. So it's exactly the same thing. So you have then perhaps a son and child, and what you are teaching them is not just the core behavior, but it's actually a pattern of establishment of relationship, the core values within that relationship, as well as teaching the greatest aspect of how you can, how that child may obtain the greatest cause for the effect they produce. So, if it is perhaps then to do with shooting animals, it has to be for sure that to begin with, it is a primary importance that you don't teach a child to hunt before you teach it to be able to use a target. So, first of all, as oftentimes it is that we have seen that people think so lowly of physical life that they will actually take a person out to hunt small birds or squirrels or whatever it is. Anything that moves, basically, it becomes a target. However, if you're using that as a way of providing a form of practice for that child to hone their skills for their accuracy, then that is something, clearly, which is avoidable. And it's something which means that you don't actually then have to bring about that effect of harm upon a defenseless being.
Yes, because you hear all the time that people lose their prey, don't they? They maybe shoot a deer and it gets injured and then they lose it and they can't find it again or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, quite so. Yes, absolutely so. And in fact, half of the wildlife that passes because somebody else has taken pot shots at it or whatever and missed or actually not been accurate in what they're doing. So if you are going to do that and the purpose is to hunt for food, which should be your only core purpose at the end of the day, not for recreation, but to hunt for food, for necessity, for life skills. If that is your reason behind it, then that should be how you find the empathy. And so what I'm talking about here is that rather than do that, it may well be that what you do is, as a person who is going to bring that about, you would go into a certain area, first of all, before you take your child, and what you do is that you string up various targets within that area.
Mm.
And that too, would be a bona fide situation for you to carry out. There is no reason for it not to be done that way. If you really want to hone those kinds of skills and understand it, it would bring about part of the awareness for that child's behavior. You must understand as well that the energy that is coming and passing between them is actually to do with the energy of establishment of the relationship and the core value between them. So it might well be in exactly the same way that other parents teach their children their own life skills or what it was that has been of value to their life. So, for example, it might well be that the parent has perfect or purely attuned life skills to do with furniture making or to do with some kind of building work or some other kind of material hands-on experience, which are to do with the perfected trades of how you acquire an end result in perfection. And oftentimes it will be seen that one human being will pass these facets, these life skills of advancement onto their children. And hopefully they will make better students than the original parent was, if they have the acquired ability to learn, to listen, rather than to go their own way. I'm not saying that it's a problem or a negative choice if a being goes their own way. However, one needs to learn the skills brought about by years of experience, I suppose. Oftentimes, however, it will be perhaps that for some people, they will feel that, especially children, that they want to do something new, that they want to create something outside of the their parents' rationale or something like that. I quite understand that. Humanity is not going to become advanced if those sorts of ideas and understandings of energy are not going to be perceived by children. So all encouragement has to be brought about when you are faced with establishing the relationship with a parent to child.
Okay, well, it's very often called bonding, isn't it? When the child gets to a certain age, it can go out hunting with its father and do this bonding thing. But I mean, chemically, physiologically what is happening in that instant when you are teaching a child to hunt. What is it that the father gets out of it?
Yes, absolutely. Well, what the father actually gets out of it, of course, is the chemical pheromonic activity which happens during the bonding process. And sometimes you might even be able to smell it. That's an interesting concept, isn't it?
Really?
But yes, absolutely so. You can smell, and this is how it is picked up, is not just through bodily contact or through the situations of communication, either physically with the eye or even touches. It's actually to do with the pheromonic activity of chemical interaction between the father and child, or between the mother and child, depending entirely upon what it is that you're doing. As I say, we're taking hunting, in a sense, as one issue, but this can equally be applied to anything else, any other form of physical behavior that you are bringing about in inserting the morality codes into your child.
Okay, so when you're teaching them to kill another animal, what is this actually saying?
Well, as I say, these are conditions upon the reasons and the relativity of why you are creating it in the first place.
But if it's a skill, then you can acquire perfectly well hunting targets, you know, that sort of thing, target practice. And the ability to kill if you had to, for instance,
without
killing an animal. Yes.
Yes, absolutely so. And that's really what I would suggest that people do.
And if it's the outdoors, the great outdoors, you know, the recreational situation of maybe going out into the natural world, there are other things that you can be doing without shooting the creatures that you come across as well, aren't there? So let's call it what it is, basically. That's what I'm saying. It's fulfilling some sort of chemical release that you get, isn't it?
In most part, yes, it is. So let's move away from the reason that you think it is. Oh, yes, I want to take my child hunting in order to teach it life skills. Might not actually gel well if you are living in a perfectly natural society where food is in total abundance. That means to say that you're not going out and doing that, really. What you are doing is you're engaging in a recreational activity in order to receive various forms of enjoyment and parity with your child. So what I'm saying is that there are many other ways of creating those possibilities of your relationship, of your child becoming, honing their own life skills, than doing that. If you are really going to teach your child hunting skills, then at least you need to keep them in a practice range for years, in fact, so that they actually hone their ability to be accurate in what they do. If they are going to really go out, if what you want to do as a human being is to teach your child hunting skills, that is, their ability to follow a quarry and to take it as a form of food, then you need to do just that. Not necessarily bringing that in with the quarry aspect of it, but in bringing about the target so that their ability to be able to do that in a perfected way is of paramount importance, so that they're not training whilst they're in the wild environment.
Mm. And what about practicing also continuing it on from them then in preparing the food? They have to do it the whole way, surely, to make it something
they're
supposedly preparing themselves for.
Yes.
For wherever. I mean, like I say, if they live in the wilds of, and beyond, then I'm sure this might come in handy.
Of course, absolutely so. And if it is that a human being has to survive for itself, it has to have these skills. So I'm not saying that I am at odds with these skills.
It's just that really, like I say, call it what it is a lot of the time. It's recreation, it's a sport, it's leisure, it's called all sorts of things. But it's not, I don't know the percentage, but most of the time it's not because they need the food. So wherever you are, basically.
It is really to do with how you are as a harmonic being. If you are saying that this is God's right that has given you this. No, it isn't. It's rubbish. It's consistent only with your evolutionary standard and what you have been morally brought up to achieve and face in your own life. And if you feel that your morality code allows you to do that, you are actually taking a backward step by painting it as a recreational attitude.
I mean, if you're flying over the heads of the Alaskan wolves in an aeroplane and shooting them from the aeroplane, which goes on now, I mean, what I don't understand that mentality. That's not pitting yourself against anything. That literally is just a moving target situation, isn't it? And
yes.
And what is the pheromonic stimulation that person gets out of that? Because there must be, mustn't there?
A pheromonic stimulation is only to say that I can afford the ticket.
But what chemical reaction does somebody get from killing another animal?
Apparently joy. And supremacy and empowerment.
I mean, for the sake of doing it, of course.
Yes.
But a lot of the times, you see, the animals that get hunted, mostly, aren't creatures that could actually attack you.
Yes, and in actual fact, of course, with that last situation that you have just painted out, it is a completely false environment. So, in actual fact, the whole point of humanity thinking that it's quite all right for them to go and hunt down a pack of wolves, when in actual fact what's happening in that whole environment is that they are maintaining the environment in a way which is beneficial to it.
Don't forget.
Don't forget that. So that what you are doing is, in a sense, that they are ensuring naturally that natural selection is a situation which brings about the greatest breeding potential, which brings about means that the best genes are going to survive, quite simply because that is the way that the evolutionary state of physical life enables that to happen. It means to say that the fittest survive, which is why it is that you have certain beings who have survived for millions and millions of years, that they have actually been active upon the planet's surface. And that is why you have alligators and crocodiles which have the same genetics as those of millions of years ago. They're an animal who has survived because they have been able to maintain their genetic understanding and that awareness. In a sense, I suppose you could say, well, that's what human beings are trying to do when they go out and hunt for food, that they're trying to generate the right codes of morality within a cell so as to maintain that genetic strain, that arbor of equilibrium for that life to behold upon it. However, I'm saying that it's not just the best hunters that will survive this planet, but the greatest thinkers.
That's interesting. Absolutely. So, the thing is, what about practicing the survival techniques of providing yourself with shelter and other things? You know, I mean, it's okay, you know, staying in a hotel or coming home and putting your feet up by a warm fire after you've been driven out into the wilderness to hunt. And like they do in England, I mean, people drive up to Scotland, don't they, and they make they make a long weekend of it and that sort of thing and stay in these wonderful lodges. It's quite bizarre, really. I mean, what about the fact that the whole thing, the whole situation of being able to survive in the wild when you're doing it, I mean, that would be something a little bit more realistic, wouldn't it, really, if you had to build your own shelter and sleep out under the stars and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Make your own fire.
Yes,
with the
yes, absolutely so. And that's really what I'm saying, that if people are going to go out and do that, are going to go and hunt for their survival, then they would also be taught all of the rest of the life skills as well. So that's also a part of their natural, their enjoyment of being in empathy with their environment and being able to live with it and not be afraid of it, learn to survive it. Yes, absolutely. That's what human beings have been doing for hundreds of thousands of years. So that is a life skill worth teaching. However, and it's plain to see that with many human beings, they are unable to survive certain situations simply because they cannot save themselves, are unable to overcome certain oppressive situations the environment throws at them. What then if you have a situation where people are really running out of food, like they are, as I say, in Africa? The percentages of bush meat now which are being utilized upon their open market, and also, of course, because it's much revered and prized, it does mean to say that it calls into question the whole morality of how human beings even feed themselves. There is more than enough food upon the planet, even with the decimations of various rice crops throughout the world. You still have enough food in abundance, and yet you would rather throw it away than to actually use it to support other beings. I suppose, really, that is how humanity has to learn itself, not to go and visit different planets in space, but actually learn themselves how to survive their own planet and how to help the planet to survive humanity.
Now, you hear about, we've only got a few minutes left, but you hear about people, where have I? I've lost my space now. I've got a lovely question here. I'll find it now. I was going to say about ingenious situations, rather than shooting them, maybe filming them, because you know, taking pictures, because you hear hunters saying about the fact that it was a beautiful creature that they shot. I mean, they're proud because they saw its beauty. Okay, now they see the beauty of the animal, say it's a deer, a stag, or whatever, and okay, then that, instead of taking a picture, they want to kill it because it was so beautiful. I don't understand that, you know?
Yes,
that to
yes.
Me
oh, there we see, the most magnificent specimen of that kind of collection of genetics and cells I've ever seen. There, well, I'll destroy it so that I'm the only one that ever sees it.
Yeah, so, sorry, I can't...
Yes, it's a very strange way of looking at something, at anything, really. So that, very well, so that you go after the deer with the largest group of antlers, or whatever, a full 7 point, or whatever it is.
But it's
however,
not like it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex or anything, that, it, you know, I got it before it could get me. I don't understand it.
Yes, quite so. I understand what you are saying. So we are looking at what it is, the rationale behind. And it's exactly the same when human beings become overly materialistic and possessive. They think and feel that they own everything, which is the danger that humanity has brought themselves into with using the expansive amounts of fossil fuels upon the planet. So that is why there has become disrespect. It's exactly the same energy which has created disrespect of the planet and disharmonic upon the planet is because of the exact same energy of one human being individually thinking that they have supremacy over everything else and that they can just take what they want of it, regardless of whether that is the most perfect form of genetic that they see.
Okay. Thank you, Gregory. This has been a wonderful, wonderful topic. Very helpful.
Well, thank you. God bless upon your journey, my dear friend.
God bless. Okay, well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work. Book yourself an Akashic reading, maybe, while we've still got our reductions. And we also have another show on Tuesdays on Artist First Radio. You can find out about that on our website. And also we'll be back again on Thursday on BBS. So, thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Wars and rumors, who's our next enemy? You've got what we want, ooh, you better give it to me. If you resist, ooh, you're a terrorist, see. I'll take everything you got, my way of setting you free. They quell objectioners, they kill the messengers, they quell objectioners.